Oh, hello there. Welcome to the second episode of the Green Ancestors podcast, a podcast in which I delve into what our ancestors did or what they believed when it came to climate justice before the advent of colonization. In the first episode, I interviewed Dr. Ignatius Mabasa, in which he talked about cultural norms using things such as idioms called tsumo and things of that nature, proverbs and other forms of communication to ensure that people engaged in appropriate behavior. Also the use of taboos, and that episode is available all over the place, so you can check it out on Spotify, you can check it out on Apple Podcasts and all those other places. In this second episode, I talked to cultural practitioner and writer as well as storyteller. He's also a poet and a critic, Tinashe Muchiri. We explore the importance of religion and ideologies around religion, particularly in the Shona culture, when it came to preservation of the environment. I had a wonderful chat with him, and this is all part of territorialization of issues around climate justice, climate action, to make sure that we understand what our ancestors did, maybe some of the things we can accept, we can adopt now, or things that, we really can't do anymore because it's still not appropriate. This podcast is brought to you with the help of the wonderful people at African Crossroads. Okay. So, hey, thank you so much for doing this. In the first episode, I talked about how, I know you listened to it with Dr. Ignatius Mabasa.
Yes, I did.
So I want to ask, because some people will say our ancestors were not people who actually did anything, but just talk. Is that true?
No, it's not true, because most of our people don't understand our ancestors and what our ancestors were like in their thoughts, in their ethos, in their ethics, in everything that they did or that they were doing during their time. So it is because of lack of knowledge that we bash our ancestors for not knowing a lot of things or not understanding the environment. Because our ancestors used to live together very well in a mutual way with the nature.
So today we're going to explore a couple of ways that they did that. So when you talk about ethics, tell me about the ethics of them living with nature.
When we look at this issue of ethics, it's actually the character of the people and the way they lived together with nature, the way they lived together with trees, the way they managed to live in the bushes, even in the caves, but surviving together with wild animals and without any conflicts, or if the conflicts were there, they were just minimal. And in most cases, you'll find that if they were to be beaten by snakes, it was because they had crossed the path of the snakes. And if they were to be killed by animals, for example, lions, it is because they would have moved or strayed in the kingdoms of the wild animals. Because in the past, if you see a group of animals, you were not allowed to go near that group of animals. You were not allowed to be go through a group of animals. You were supposed to go around away from the animals. These were some of the ethics that were there in the past that actually sustained our ancestors' life and love for nature and life that never was disturbed by the wild animals.
So I'll give the example of the Shona. I was reading Taringa recently in 2006. Say there was a causal connection between moral conditions of the community and the physical environment. How did that work in a practical way?
You know, the connection is like, when you see different types of animals, you will know or understand that something is going to be happening. So there was communication between people and nature. For example, muna akaona shikukuviri, kanyoka kaya kanonzi, kana maziso, kana kutikano, kano vamwano in English it is called a worm, but kano famba kachinzi kane misoro miviri. Muna anotoziva kuti there is danger somewhere. If someone hears matendera or those birds which produce orchestra sounds during the early hours of the morning, muna anotoziva kuti mvura iri nechekure kure haisati yapadhuze but haina mazuva akawanda. Or, for example, when it is raining, mubvumbi uya uya, not soft rain, for quite a long, or showers for quite a long time, or for days, the day that a crow cries, that's the day that the sun will rise, and you will see it, it will be visible. Saka, izvi zvindo zvaiitika kuti munhu anoziva nekuona kuita kwemhuka. Kuchitaura na vapenyu vanorarama kuti izvi ndo zvakuda kuitika. This is something that is about to happen. When you hear a crow cries, you know that the sun will be seen, will be visible. The clouds will clear on that particular day.
So a lot of what inspired my interest in this particular topic is the concept of Afrocentrism, which is that Africans must determine their reality and the worldview, and also the origins of an Afrocentric worldview are found in traditional African history before the advent of European and Arab influence. So when we look at that, would you agree then that a lot of what was the connection of the religious connection between people and the land, for example, was decimated to a large extent by Western influence?
I agree to that assertion. Or to that notion. You know why I agree? Because when you look at us, Savannah Vatema, especially the Shona people, they say, if something bad happens, or you were trying to start something and it failed, they will tell you Ivuraramba. What is Ivuraramba? Ivuraramba is actually the spirits, the ancestors. Have refused to give you something. The spirits have refused to allow you to do something. So our ancestors are our soil. So the soil is to us, our ancestor. And this is the reason why you'll find that we were not allowed to cut down trees indiscriminately or randomly. There were certain trees that were not allowed to cut down. If you cut down such a tree, you were going to be charged by the king or by Samana Urosakubaka, who is now equivalent to a village head these days. So every time you cut a certain tree that is not allowed for you to cut it down, you were charged and you were made to pay. If you continue doing that, you were chased away from that community because you were going against the norms and values of the spirits of that place. And the other thing is that when you go out hunting, you were actually going to ask the spirits who have control over that bush or that forest. You ask it for permission or for guidance and protection while you are in the forest so that you will have a better hunt in that forest and get whatever you want to get. Now, look at it now. When the white people came or the Western civilization came, it created what we call concentrated settlement. And a concentrated settlement does not respect life or love for nature. It will separate the person from nature. It will separate you from nature. So it separated us from nature. We are no longer part of nature, and nature is no longer part of us. We are now living in urban areas where we are far away from nature, and the nature is now controlled by the Western civilization. And mostly you will find that all those areas were controlled by white people. So they take us away from our spirituality. They take us away from our connection with the spirits. They take us away from our love with nature. And that relationship, a cordial relationship between human beings and nature of our the indigenous people, has become disconnected, discredited, and destroyed. So we no longer have that connection. This is why you find that we cannot speak to nature, and nature sometimes cannot speak to us. And you can see that we now have more conflicts between nature and human beings.
So one thing that many people don't know, and I'd like you to tell me more about it, is the aspect that our ancestors, I mean, it looks like it's something new nowadays, especially in places like Zimbabwe and Harare to be in particular, the protection of wetlands.
Yes. Yeah, you can see in the past, you were not allowed to build anything, Munika, which is a valley, or Mudafanya, Mudete, Mudefe, Mudoro, Mujakwi, you were not allowed to build anything, cannot Mumatope, in those areas, because that's where the ancestors know that or knew that in those places, that's where we find our water, which is very clean. We were not allowed to do anything that will pollute the water. Even you find that even cattle, they were not allowed to drink in places like that. They were taken to the river, not to those places. Boys and girls, they would play, but they will not be allowed to straddle in those areas. Why? Because you find that's where kunogara nyoka dzinonzi idzomhungu dzine dzichitandara namatachka ikoko nezvimwe zvipukanana zvakasiyana siyana. And because of that, ndokunogara futi again, because remember, our Shona people believe in the water marine spirits. So that's most of these wetlands were associated with water marines. And because the Shona people believe in water marines, they would not allow anyone to mess with those water marines, because they would bring, the water marines would bring talents. They will do healing on certain diseases. So that this is the reason why you find that the diseases that were there during that time, it was rare to find a disease that could be incurable, because the water marines will go and find or those who are possessed by the water marines would be able to go in those valleys, in the wetlands, to source herbs that would be able to treat or to heal any sickness. But nowadays, you'll find that we have destroyed wetlands. For example, the city of Harare. If you look at the city of Harare, it was actually constructed on a wetland, and the whole of city Harare is a wetland. Who decided to build city of Harare on a wetland? You see, the foreigner, the pioneer column, they come and desecrated our once valued sacredness spaces. And for us, as we look around, we are continuing again now, destroying this, the smallest species of wetlands that have been remained, because some of us, in our own imagination or in our own minds, we don't understand the value of these wetlands. We think they are valueless. We will be only able to realize when we are affected by this issue of climate change, when we will be having wars for water, when water runs away. And you can notice this, that some of us are starting to realize that. When you go to this location that is being built by a bank near Kwadzana roundabout, you discover that they're actually putting tanks there, water tanks there, so that people will have water stored in tanks, preparing that in the future, we will have water problems, excessive water problems in Harare, because of how we have been settled, because of how we were nurtured by the modern civilization that does not respect nature, that does not respect our relationship with nature and our love with nature and the sacredness of nature and the spirituality of nature or divine of nature.
Okay, so I started speaking without unmuting there. So, I mean, what's the name? Chukwuoko wrote in one of the analysis that imperialism bequeathed Africans with two main unforgettable experiences, namely the denial of African identity and the tendentious imposition of Western thoughts and cultural realities and perceptions. Now, that aspect of identity, I know you spoke about it a little bit earlier, but a lot of the identity for Africans in the land, and particularly in Zimbabwe, where you're quite knowledgeable about the Shona people, the connection between the intimacy and the connection between those who came before us was a religious connection. It was a spiritual connection, and it wasn't religion in the Western ideology of religion, where it's just prayer and so forth. But it was how the intimate relationship with nature was, wasn't it?
Yes. When you look at religion, the modern one, you have to be collectively gather at a certain space, and then you do prayers certain days that are marked on a day. But remember, we have a day every week that we don't go to work on the lands. That was a day that we reserve for the communion with the Lord, for the communion with our ancestors. And that day is very special. The day that is called Chisi, Chisingarimi. Chisingarimi is the day that is very special for us, because we raised so that we can communion with our ancestors. And on top of that, to add to that, you will discover that the other way that every day of an indigenous person is a communion with his or her ancestors. And the ancestors will take those what we call prayers ahead or forward. Because every time when someone goes out to hunt, they will go to Chikula to talk to their ancestors. Chikula, I am going out hunting. Please lead me so that I will not face any danger in the forest. When you get to the forest, you again ask the owners of that forest. And in most cases, it is the spirits of the people who owns that land or who have been the first to settle in that land. So you ask them, I have come to your forest, please protect me May you please allow me to get him a game that is enough for my family to eat and or to survive off. And that is what you do. So you'll find that every time, to those who say there was no knowledge of worshiping, it's a lie. And those who say people did not know any other religion, any way of a religion, it's a lie again. It's only that people only gather to do such prayers or to worship when there is need, especially during times where there is mkwerera, or when there are biras. You see, when they're asking for something from their people, from their ancestors to protect them when there is sickness in the family, when there is a drought in the community. All these gatherings were specifically for certain things. We were not gathering only to do prayers like what we do now, where we have a priest who will preach to us. In the past, no one would do that, but everyone will be able to know what is supposed to be done, because the house of mother, kana kuti muimba ya mai, maibikirwa, was actually the temple from which the young people will learn about their ancestors, the importance of about their ancestors, the importance of the Most High Msikavanu. All was taught in the kitchen. And when you grew up a little bit as a boy, you also get that information from Edare. Every time you meet elders, you clap your hands. That clapping of hands, you are actually telling the elders that I respect you. And they will also take that worship, form of worship, to the next person. And this is what happens every day. So in everyday life of a Shona person, they will be covered by divine, and they will be doing things of divine, and their actions and characters will be defined in the environment of divine. This is how a religion was connected to the Shona people, which is far much different from this one. That's where you wait to be told that there is God by someone else, and you only wait for that person to preach to you and not make you really understand and take it to be part of you. In Shona, or in the Shona community and culture, you will take that divine to be part of you. You will be part of your ancestors, and the ancestors will be part of you, because you, every day you walk with the name or the totem, you are carrying those divine meanings.
One of the things that fascinates me about beliefs is that ownership of land, in essence, was that land should not be exploited, and that people are only stewards manning it on behalf of the ancestors. And so why I mentioned that this is important: most of the time, the living things that most people think of are the totem of the animals that as represented by totems, but also rocks and water bodies and mountains were also classified as living beings. Why was that important?
Come again?
I said the
last part of the question.
So rocks, water bodies, and mountains are also personified as living beings and not just dead objects. Why was that important?
You know, when we talk of soil, people feel that where we put our footprints is actually the soil. The soil is not only where we put our footprints, but it is everything that grows out of soil, where our ancestors can go and raise and take shape, or where our ancestors can actually sit or possess.
This is the reason why you find that there were certain trees, miti aito taura, nemabwe aito taura, mabwe adziva kwaiva neizwi, izwi raiita kuti vanhu vagoendako. Ukatarisa zve mumvura, mune mazwi arimo. Mvura iyoyo yakakosha, ndosaka yakanga ichichengetwa. They would protect all those wells because they know that in those wells they reside our ancestors. They would take a lot of care of the soil or the grass, the trees. And there are certain trees where people would go and worship their ancestors, through their ancestors. They would worship through their ancestors. For example, muhacha, ukaonekwa watema muhacha, yaitova mhosva ihombe, yokuti watema tembere, kana kuti dzimbawe, panosvikirwa nevanhu vachindochema kuna musikavanhu. So, you will have done a very, very taboo thing to cut a muhacha tree, or to cut mupfura tree, wamunoti amarula. Mazuva ano, you were not allowed to cut mubvumira. You were not allowed to cut mukute. All these trees were forbidden for anyone to cut. You were not even allowed to cut a fruit tree because right iwo kana ukatema muti wapinza vanhu munzara. Nokuti muti ndiwo unoponesa vanhu munzara. Ndiko saka makore enzara vanhu vachizonzwika kuti vari kudya hacha. Hakusi kungodya hacha chete ukadzitarisa dzinenge dzakawanda mugore renzara kudarika zvimwe zvinhu zvese. Chiri chinenge chichireva ipapo utori zvemucherechedzo kuvazhinji. Pavanodziona dzakawanda vanoziva kuti gore iroro kune nzara. Saka vanochengetedza miti yavo, they will protect those trees from being cut down by anyone. Because they knew that it will save them from hunger and starvation. And this is how the spiritual world connect with the people. It goes through the trees during fruition, during different times, even when the tree is flowering, people will actually notice that maruva akata zvaakadai zvaakatarira kwakati, it means something is not right.
Well, one tree that I found very one term that I came across that was very interesting is marambotemwa, where tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. You know, when we say maramba kutemwa, maramba kutemwa, mostly if you look at it, is a sacred space or a sacred forest that refuses to be destroyed, which means anyone who goes there trying to cut down trees in that forest will not be able to fall any tree. Because the moment that they want to cut the tree, vanobva vataika, vanobva vatetereka, vanobva vabatwa nechabwibwi kana kuti chadzimira. It means that they will go missing or they went missing. And because of that, miti irikoko haitemwi. Nechikonzero chokuti miti yose, ukatarisa miti yose iyoyo iri muramba kutemwa kana kuti masango anonzi maramba kutemwa, those sacred spaces, pamusoro pechikomo chacho panenge pakavigwa madzishe vanhu vanoremekedzwa. Panenge pakavigwa masvikiro nemhondoro vanhu vanoremekedzwa. Saka masango iwayo anenge achienda kurwizi kunoinda mhondoro dzichindomwa mvura. Zvapaya paunozonzwa vanhu vachiimba vachiti dzinomwa muna save, save uyu ari kutaurwa haasi save mumwe chete, inzizi dzakawanda. Saka vanhu vanenge vachitaura kuti the lions or the spirit of the lions goes to the river to drink water from there. So now mabushes or these forests are protected by the spirits of the people who were interred or buried in that tunnel above kana kuti in the caves. Saka nokudaro vadzimu ava kana kuti mhondoro idzi ndodzinenge dzichiprotekta kana kuchengetedza sango iroro kuti risatemwa, nokuti musango umu ndomavachafamba namo vachienda kundomwa kurwizi. Saka vanoda mumvuri wemiti ndosaka vasingadi kuti itemwe. So this is why uchinzwa masango anonzi maramba kutemwa. Haangorambi kutemwa asi nekuda kwekuti akatoiswapo kuti achengetedze mumvuri unochengeta vaya vedu vakaenda kare, my ancestors edu. So our ancestors will be protecting it. And also the Most High will be around that space. Ndosaka uchiona even mazuva ano vanoenda kuzvitendero zviriko mazuva ano vanoda kukwira makomo iwayo anoyera, because they feel kuti it is the easiest or the shortest way to communicate with God. And there is also the shortest way for the Holy Spirit to come down to them and talk to them and discuss issues, or talk to them and tell them about certain things that will be coming over them. Vochikonzero ichocho nokuti vanotoziva kuti kwavari kuenda uko ndokunoita kuti vagone kutaura namusika vanhu, nokuti padhuze pedyo pedyo, nokuti nzvimbo iyoyo inzvimbo yomweya.
So other than the aspect of people who are the ancestors walking through and they need the shade and protection, I love the fact that when you're really looking at it from a practical point of view, these trees also prevent soil erosion and sedimentation of water sources, thereby ensuring sustainable environmental usage, isn't it?
Yeah. From a practical point of view, when you look at most forests that are called maramba kutemwa, you will discover that there is a certain fruit tree that is found in plenty in that area. Sometimes unotogona nguri muzhanje. Saka uri kuramba kutemwa muzhanje uyu nechikonzero chokuti muri kuchengeterwa chikafu, nokuti kana chekurya ichi chikashayikwa hamuzochiwani makore enzara. Iyi miti michero iyi inoita kuti musafa nenzara. Chechipiri, the second thing is that this bush or forest is being protected for the wild animals to find something to eat on. Remember, every time when we see a baboon, we start to think about our ancestors, because it always symbolizes our great great ancestors. Now, if you cut down those fruit trees, it means the ancestors will go away from you, and the baboons cannot be seen, or the monks cannot be seen near you. So these places are protected so that you'll have a continuous connection with your ancestors. And the third thing is, cutting down tree, it means that if those trees are destroyed, it means the river will silt, and after siltation, the mondorozi will not have a space to drink, and this will also affect the living. So the forest is being protected for those who are gone, who are not gone, because they are still with us, and the living, so that they will always continuously have a supply of water which is not disturbed, even during the drought seasons. That's the practical part of it.
So, okay, given that sort of scenario, where when we look at the aspect of our the thing that you've told me. A lot of the times young people nowadays would be like, yeah, you know, these things were just people making up things, and it was religion and so forth. But what I'm picking up here, some of the new world concepts, such as a person having individual property that they own, or whatever the case may be, do not particularly serve the people of that particular area, do they? They sort of like are focused on having a less intimate relationship with the world, and which is sort of in a strange way where the world is the global north is beginning to appreciate that We need to have a very close and spiritual relationship with Mother Nature.
Yes. You know, one thing that is important and one thing that we need to look at is how we can restore our love for nature. And for example, you know what, this very funny thing, we say the soil, kuchirungu tinoti she, kureva kuti ndiye amai. Saka kana iwewe in our Shona culture, it is taboo to see your mother, your naked mother. But unfortunately for Earth, people are actually undressing him, which means that we are undressing our mother. And when you undress your mother, what happens later is that you have a lot of misfortunes. You meet a lot of misfortunes, putting danger your life, putting danger everyone that is associated with you. So this is what we are doing. But what I may say that the world need to do is to go back to Mother Nature and dress our mother. We need to clothe her. We need to plant trees. We need to protect the wetlands. We don't need to cut those sacred trees. We need to protect even the rock formations that we are destroying right now. I understand you know what I'm saying, that people are destroying a lot of rock formations around the country, and they are doing it randomly. They don't even care about the sacredness of those places. And at the end of the day, when the misfortunes befall us, that's when we start to cry and say, what can we do? How can we do? But we will have destroyed ourselves. And we will have destroyed the connection. Kana tisina ivhu zvakanaka, tisingachengetedzi ivhu zvakanaka, tiri kuzviparadza isu pachezvedu. Kana tisingachengetedzi miti nemakomo, tichauya isu, tichizovhuvhutwa nemhepo, dzimba dzedu dzichiparadzwa, chero nguva yangodika, mhepo kufamba, inobva yadziparadza, tosara tisina chatinacho. The cyclones that we are mourning or crying about right now, when they come in the next century or in the next decades, when we are done with these mountains that are covering us, it will be a great disaster for us. So we need to be very, very careful and go back and reflect about what we need to do, how we should clothe our mother land.
There's a term that has grown a lot of prominence recently. It's the concept of Ubuntu. I know we touched on it a little bit earlier in what I'm going to ask next, but it is true also that Ubuntu or Wunu it was more than human to human, but it's also human to nature and community, wasn't it?
Yes. Ubuntu, I am, because you are, and we are, you know, that team actually connects with us. You can only be Munu, kana une Unu, and Unu iwowo, Unu Unu kwa. Nezvaunoitira nyika. And nyika, kana tichitaura nyaya yenyika, nyika ndiyo ivhu, nyika ndiyo miti, nyika ndiyo mhuka, nyika ndiyo mvura, nyika ndiyo hove. Ndosaka wainzi ukabata hove diki,
haudzitakuri unodzidzorera mudziva wongofaridza hondo chete ndodzoenda nadzo kumba. Ndiko saka wainzi kana uchivhima, it is not allowed to kill a lactating animal. Kana ukaona mhuka ichiyamisa hauiurayi, hazvibvumirwi nekuda kwokuti unenge waparadza ramangwana. Saka naizvozvo ndosaka tanga tisingatodi kuti kunyange nevana vaduku vafe, nokuti kana vafa tairwadziwa zvikuru. Kana mukadzi ari kuyamisa zvaitirwadza nokutirwadzisisa. Kana mudzimai ane nhumbu zvinotirwadza zvikuru kana tikatonzwa achirohwa, nekuda kwokuti ndihwo hunonzi hunhu. That is ubuntu. We should protect these animals that are lactating. We should protect the young ones of the and the wild. We should protect the fruit trees. This is part of ubuntu. We should protect nature for nature to protect us, because we are connected with nature and the nature is part of us. We are part of nature. That's why it was taboo to do anything that is wrong when you are in the forest. That's why it was taboo to kill the younger ones or the young ones of the animals. It was very, very, very taboo. But today you find that people are just killing animals indiscriminately, randomly. They don't even think about protecting them. They just kill because they want to eat. Because those animals are also rare in their communities, because they have been moved away by these concentrated villages, the concentrated urban settings. Has moved away all the animals that were supposed to protect us, that were supposed to give us shelter. Some of them would actually build shelter for us, and some will actually build shelter for other animals. And this is what this relationship, this cordial relationship, was the most important thing. Chinhu changa chakakosha ukama wanga uripo kuti vanhu vaitogona kuinda vachindogara mumuyu, votovaka imba yavo mumuyu vasinganayiwi, vogara mubako nedzimwe mhuka vachingopesana pesana asi pasina ari kukuvadza umwe. Izvozvo zvanga zvakakosha nekuda kwokuti paiva nekuremekedzana, uye kana pasisina kuremekedzana hapasisina ukama, and that relationship has been destroyed because we no longer live together with nature, but we are in separate ways, separated by the modern civilization.
So in your view, we have to be clear that Afrocentricity doesn't say that we reject every Western ideology. This podcast is focused fundamentally on what our ancestors used to do and the positives of it, and how, of course, to talk about aspects such as Vazimu, how the ancestors used to protect the people we were taking care of the environment for. The question that is there is, in your opinion, how much of this is being practiced still in Zimbabwe? For example, I know of the I'm just trying to remember. I put down on the nose. To this day, Chivaku village in Buhera cannot cut a mohacha tree without permission from the headman. So there are aspects that are still being followed today, aren't they?
Yes, I cannot say everything in every society or every community of the Shona people have actually abandoned everything or all of all those practices and norms and values that they used to do. But they are still practicing them. For example, they are still observing Chisingarimi, which is the Chisi day, either Thursday, Wednesday, or Friday, depending on the community around the country. Then the other thing, you're talking about mohacha tree. In Buhera, they are not allowed to cut that tree before telling the headman, and it is You see how strict it is. They've come to that realization after they've discovered that in Buera it is now like a desert because there are no more many trees there. Unfortunately, there are not more hills in their area too. So because of that, they had to make sure that people cannot continue indiscriminately cutting trees. And they also realized that Muhacha is actually sacred. But if you go into other communities, for example, people in Otazaka, they are not allowed to cut down a tree, a fruit tree, in fact. If you cut down a fruit tree, which is a wild fruit tree, you have to pay or you will be charged. No matter it is at your home or in your field, you don't have power over it. If it is disturbed in your field, you have to ask the village head that you want to cut a certain tree, but you are only allowed to cut the branches and not to fell the tree. So these are some of the things that are being held or practiced. And the other thing is that they go to mountains for Querera. They are still practicing that in Querera. They are still practicing. Some are still practicing the new fruit. In Zimbabwe, try here. Some are also still practicing the kublesa mbeu or kupambeu kubatsimu kuti vagoita kuti kuwanikwe gohwa rakanaka. They are still doing that. And some are also doing mapira and kurova guva. They are still practicing that. But if you look at mapa, atanga tichitaura here, it's not my wetlands. They are being destroyed. And this is because most people are no longer taking the worship through the ancestors. They are now taking it through Jesus Christ. And ndo kufunga kwa vanoita kuti mapa asisina basa. Kana kuti nzvimbo dzakaita semarambo kutemwa aya asisina basa. Mamwe acho aparadzwa asi variko vachiri kutevedzera izvozvo. Kunyange ukatarisa pakuroorana unoona kuti dziriko tsika dzichiri kutevedzerwa dzakaita sedzekusungira dzichiri kutevedzerwa chaizvo nekubvisa roora ikoko kuri kutevedzerwa zvakanyanya. Asi unozoona kuti the way that is being that it is being done is no longer in a proper way. You also look at issue rukuvhute rwemwana because it was supposed kuti rundoibva pasi pevhu kana rwaibva pasi. Then there is connection between the born child and his ancestors or her ancestors. But now,
for the sake of those who don't know what that is, would you say you say it in Shona? In English, what would it be called?
Rukuvute.
Yeah.
Rukuvute is actually, this cord. What do you call that?
The umbilical cord
that joins the mother and the umbilical cord. But when it falls, the other piece between where it is cut and where it is tied, when it falls down, it is supposed to be buried somewhere in a protected place where no one is allowed to see it when you are burying it there. Because it's the spiritual connection between the living and the dead. But nowadays, some people, yes, they just take the piece of the umbilical cord and flush it off through the toilet. This was just a good flush and toilet. And this one's right, you know, for the shit, pane, upeni, unengo, shito parazwa. Nekuda kuti hapasina hochekoche iri pakati pevakaenda kana kuti nemusiki neuyu mupenyu ari kurarama zuva ranhasi. Ndipo paunozoona vana vakungoita musikanzwa. You find them doing stubborn things and not even obeying the orders of the elders and disturbing the harmony and peace in the community. This is caused by some of the taboo things that we do, thinking that we are now more civilized than those of the past.
What I do want to ask Nav here before we go is, now, what can be done? Because this part of, in terms of climate justice, I think that there's a lot of work that needs to be done to protect those communities that will be the most affected, especially as you say, if the wetlands are not going to work as they're supposed to, it is the communities that do not that have the least that will be affected. And you talked about in Bukira, where it's turned into a desert and so forth. Surely this is there's a lot of this indigenous knowledge systems that can still be preserved and can still be taught. What is your suggestion to make sure that people, know about these things and get a greater connection to the to Mother Nature?
There is need for awareness creation. There is need for advocacy. There is need for lobbying. There is also need for practical things like planting trees. But sometimes it's not just planting trees. It's about taking care of those trees. Well, some people will tell you that we are going to plant trees. We plant trees and forgot about those trees that we have planted. And some will die because of lack of water and other things. So even though the day they are not doing things, but they are just going there to dump trees. So we don't want people who dump trees. We want people who plant trees and trees that are suitable for the areas that are where they are being planted. Because sometimes you find that people take the trees and just plant them in an area where they cannot grow, where the environment is not favorable for them. So we need all these things, and we need to protect the mountains. We need to protect those rock formations. We need to protect the wetlands. Especially the issue of wetlands, we need to protect them as yesterday, because that is our source of clean water. If we continue destroying them, we will have a lot of diseases that will affect us, and it's not good for us, it's not good for our health. So we need to protect them. We need to protect the rock formations, not because they are beautiful, but because they have a role to play in protecting us from wild winds, from violent winds. So it's very important for us to do that. And we need to have that relationship. We go back and have a relationship. Don't just do things on the soil as if we don't know what we are doing, especially the mining where you dig everywhere. We need to stop that and have a properly managed mining system that will show love for our nature. If we do that, I tell you, we will be able to minimize the effects of climate change. But if we continue practicing what we are doing right now, we will leave a lot of disasters to our next generations. Because at the moment, we are actually borrowing from the future. We are not investing in the future. So we must stop borrowing from the future and invest for the future to have happiness, harmony, peace among themselves.
So before you go, where can people find your work? What are you working on? I know you got a book and stuff like that. What else? Tell us where people can find you.
They can find me on Facebook. That is Tinashe Muchuri. They can find me on my blog. That is mudararatinashemuchuri.blogspot.com. They can find me, I think, on LinkedIn, where is Tinashe Muchuri again. And on different other blogs where I post some of my writings. And I also have written about three books. The first one is called Shibarabada, which is a Shona novel. It's called by critics an anti-novel. And the second one is Zipfuyo Neva Navazo. And the third one is that was published last year, 2020. It's called Andimazita.
Cool. So I know in your other life you are a poet,
Yes.
Any performances or anything happening in that regard?
Are you saying now or in the future?
Yeah, in the future.
Actually, I'll be telling stories. I think in about 4 days from now, where I'll be talking to the kids about a certain story that I was commissioned to tell somewhere at a primary school in Rua, and I am planning to have a record on an album on poetry, performance poetry, where I'll be, you know, churning it out. And I'm also doing, I'm thinking and planning to have an album of stories for children to actually learn and understand about our indigenous knowledge systems. For example, I'm looking at Imbayamai, because you know, Fungausi, and I could kitchen, no kutimune soon to change his remo, so and that seeds are weird, so and no garrots are swanesua, so and no one of the Saka Kosha, the Tinga Chitaura, to the Anava Gonswa. Skantika Suita, Shibuda Nemu, Netembo or poetry, that will be good for me. And on the second, I've been told that there is a commemoration for Albert, for not for Albert, it's for Charles Mungoshi, where I will be speaking there.
A busy man indeed, Tinashe Mshiri. Thank you very much for this sharing so much knowledge, very important knowledge, and as far as our indigenous knowledge systems are concerned.
I want to not tender school.
And itika.
Yeah, it's not tender school, Ningwe Amatipa.
So I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. That was a cultural practitioner and writer, as well as storyteller and poet and critic. You can see in the sinews of a lot of what he said, and when it broke into Shoshona, if you understand the language, and sometimes even if you can feel the language and its texture, and I was like, yes, this is what I came for. This is what I signed up for when I said I wanted to get involved in storytelling, because a lot of things get lost in translation. I'm glad that a lot of the things that he said in Shona, he also said in English. So if you don't understand Shona, you won't have missed out much, because he repeats some of the ideologies in English. My big takeaway is how our ancestors were intimate with nature. They believed that they and nature were one, and looking at rocks and mountains and were also seen as part of the intimacy that we have with the environment. So if you were intimate with it because of religious practice, whether you thought it's because of your relationship with God, your relationship with the ancestors, whatever it is, what you knew is that you were just a caretaker on behalf of the ancestors after they'd taken care of the environment before. And I'm hoping this is something that we can do going forward, that every time you think of throwing a piece of paper on the ground, it's little actions like that that we forget about sometimes. You've got to think about it and say, look, I can't do this because it is disrespectful to those who came before and did not do that. And of course, there are things that we'll need to just unlearn. And maybe among us, we need to start having an intimate relationship with the earth, so as to understand ourselves from the perspective of us being one with the world. Might be worth exploring. I certainly think it is. What are your thoughts? Get in touch with me on Twitter at Quiridai, and also remember to follow African Crossroads on African Crossroad on Twitter. Check them out also on Instagram. Always exciting things that's happening there. And they have been responsible for my storytelling in this regard. One more episode is coming up in 2 weeks. Otherwise, take care of yourself. And as I always say, from where I come from, my name is Larry Quiridai. Asilwi siyasebenza. Take care of yourself.